Chapter 10, The Unthinkable. Ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our final descent into Sarajevo International Airport. It is a beautiful, sunny 23 degrees Celsius. Our time for landing will be 7:20 a.m., so please set your watches accordingly. Please organize your travel documents. Visitors requiring a visa to enter Bosnia are invited to deplane first and make your way to the red door at the end of the sky ramp to the right. Please ask for assistance if needed. We hope you enjoyed flying with us at Turkish Air. Vala, ti. Megan's heart jumped into her throat at the announcement. What would happen in the next hour of her life? Bryn had switched seats with Rob and made small talk with her during the Paris to Sarajevo leg of the trip. But Megan barely heard a word she said. Megan was so much her father's daughter in that regard. Her mind was always at work analyzing situations and sorting through scenarios that posed challenges or questions. Dave had always said that if he hadn't become an engineer, he would have been a detective. Margaret often found herself referring to Dave as her Sherlock and Megan as his Watson. Neither Dave nor Megan took that in a disparaging way. They had a long and loving history of sleuthing their way through all sorts of modus operandi in countless childhood adventures together. But the current situation was no childhood case, and the mystery before Megan had potential life and death implications. As the plane came to rest at the sky bridge and the overhead compartments automatically opened, Megan turned to Bryn and said, I left my passport in Chicago. I talked it over with Pete in Paris. I have to separate from the team and make my way directly to the customs office as soon as we deplane. What? Oh my God, why didn't you tell me? I didn't want you to worry. Pete is taking over as leader now, and I just wanted to keep this hiccup as low level as possible. Oh wow, okay? I understand that. Well, you're an experienced globetrotter. I know it'll be fine. Bryn perked. Yeah, no worries. Just hang with Pete. He told me that he's going to make a few calls to adjust the trip logistics from the airport to the hotel. He'll give you the details, okay? You okay? Bryn hugged Megan. You seem upset to me. I'm good. Please just stick close to Pete and trust him. Okay, bless you, sis. Bryn said as she slipped on her backpack and began to walk up the aisle. She stopped at Pete's seat and said something to him. He nodded and stood to deplane with her. He gave a quick glance back at Megan. She gave a sharp nod and then picked up her pack and purse to follow, leaving a few team members in between. As Megan exited the sky bridge, she could see the team gathering while Pete gave instructions. She quickly looked away and made her way through the red door leading to the customs office, as instructed by the aircrew. Immediately, as she stepped into the reception area, three customs agents were there waiting for her. Miss Manstead, said the obvious lead agent in a thick accent. We are here to help you. Megan was startled. How do these guys know I need help? The agent picked up on her trepidation and attempted to calm her in his heavy accent. Not to be afraid. Father asked you make immediate contact with him. There is urgent family matter. Megan's mind began to swirl in a sea of questioning panic. Is there really an emergency? What dire thing has happened back home to warrant an international call? She quickly set those questions aside. Her impeccable intuition informed her that somehow her dad had picked up on the situation and that this was his way of intervening. With that thought, a wave of relief and encouragement swept over her mind and calmed her fears. Her legs felt weak, though. Seasick weak. As the foursome reached the customs office door, Megan looked back over her shoulder just in time to see the rest of the team filing through the red door and into the reception area. Ahead and beyond that area were turnstiles directing passengers to the customs and visa processing areas, leading into the airport terminal. Megan had a foreboding feeling fill her heart and mind as she was escorted into the office. There was a tall counter with file cabinets at the back of the room opposite the door. Immediately, she took unsettling note that there was no one else in the room. Strange. She noticed three closed doors on the wall to the right. The wall to the left was mostly a one-way view security mirror overlooking the turnstiles. The lead agent took Megan by the elbow and began to escort her toward the center door. She put up a slight resistance against the agent's hand instinctively to test if this was a friendly gesture or not. The grip tightened, and Megan bristled at the thought of what was behind the door. As she entered the room, there were three men standing in the empty room. The dank room had no windows and only one other door at the back of the room. Not a single word was spoken by the men. Megan was silent as well. She had learned to always let the power broker in this kind of situation speak first. Still, she was unnerved at how little the three men seemed to care. Disconnected? The three men were all dressed in plain clothes, identical plain clothes, tan khaki pants and dark blue t-shirts, white tennis shoes. As Megan looked closer, she was caught off guard. The three men were obviously identical triplets. The sight and realization that these men were triplets sent a curious rush of adrenaline through her system. At the same time, however, a sense of clear-headed peace and calm settled over the top of her head and enveloped her entire body. The sensation of these conflicting emotional forces, in her and over her, affected the feeling of a third-person viewpoint upon her. Megan felt like she was watching the whole unfolding event as a spectator. The middle triplet, completely void of emotions, broke the silence and verbally delivered a set of obviously rote commands: set your bags on the floor, remove your outer clothing, step into this room. The triplet to the right, on cue, opened the door and walked into yet another dark and empty room, holding the door open for Megan until she was ready. Megan remained silent and began to do exactly as instructed. When it came to removing her jeans, she paused and gave the custom agent a head check to turn around. For a second, Megan was in surprise control, and the agent turned around under the silent behest of the prisoner. Without further delay, she followed the instructions and stepped into the dark shadows of the room. The triplet shut the door and stood next to Megan in the pitch-black darkness. After a frightfully awkward few moments, Megan spoke into the blackness. "Who are you?" She heard her own voice answer back. "I am Megan Manstead. Where is Pete?" The light switched on, and Megan found herself standing face to face with her identical self. Strange how the mind works under extreme conditions. Instead of a complete meltdown of her cognitive faculties, as one would expect at such a shocking revelation, Megan's mind became hyper-aware and sharp. The very first thing that went through her mind was, "You forgot the mole." Megan was born with a beauty mark on her upper left cheek. When she was 14, she had it removed because the dermatologist determined that it was showing signs of precancerous cells. In its place, a tiny scar was left to be a special target area for an extra pinky pass of foundation every day as she did her makeup. Her twin had the mole. Other than that, even Megan could not tell if this was her reflection or, well, her. The door opened again, and an arm reached in with Megan's clothes and handed them to the triplet standing next to her. "Put these on." Megan's double dropped the robe she had been wearing and quickly put on the clothes. "Come," said the triplet. The agent opened the door, and Megan's double and the triplet left together. The agent ordered Megan to put the robe on and follow him. He led her back into the main office area. Megan's double and the triplet had exited together into the customs reception area. The agent tightly gripped Megan's arm and forcefully led her and the remaining two triplets through the farthest door to the left. It opened into a small parking garage. Several vehicles bearing official insignias from the Bosnian Customs and Border Agency were parked in their assigned slots. An unmarked solid black van with blackened windows was running with its hazard lights on. The agent slid the door open and forced Megan in and told her to sit still. The triplets flanked her, on the single rear-facing bench seat. The agent took the driver's seat and sped the van through the exit tunnel into the blinding sunlight. Megan was out of options, and a crushing double-fisted grip of fear and helplessness began to strangle her mind. It was all so surreal. She could barely breathe. The van careened down a service road that ran parallel to the main airport thoroughfare. They swerved sharply to exit up a dirt and gravel ramp, where they skidded to a stop on a grassy berm. The spot served as an overlook adjacent to the airport arrivals loading area. Their position was partially shielded from view among a sparse grouping of pine trees. The agent exited the van and began to glass the area. Megan looked over her shoulder through the front windshield just in time to witness him concealing himself within the branches. Moments later, he shouldered a large military-type walkie-talkie up to his ear and began to speak muffled words, unintelligible to Meg. From their vantage point, about 50 yards away, Megan could clearly see the loading area doors. After a minute or two, she watched as her team filed out the doors and gathered onto the sidewalk along the loading area. Bryn, Rob, and the others were checking over their itineraries and getting all the luggage situated. As they were doing so, a van from their destination hotel pulled up, and they began busily loading the luggage. She could see Pete giving directions while making his way over to the driver's window. To Megan's shock, her double exited the door at the loading area and walked towards the van. Bryn threw her arms up and ran over and gave her a hug. Bryn helped her with her bags, then hugged her again, and they entered the van's open side door with the others. Pete walked around the front of the van and got into the front passenger seat, closing his door. Megan was tail-spinning into mental shock. She could feel herself losing her grip on reality as she slipped into a dreamlike state of mind. She began to mouth a breathless plea. "Lord Jesus, intervene. In your name, help us, Savior." Her quiet prayer was shattered by a loud shout echoing from under the loading area's overhang canopy. "Allah Akbar!" She looked up just in time to see a man removing his overcoat, exposing an entire bodysuit laden with explosives. He was holding up a detonator in one hand and a pistol in the other. Nearby security agents turned and began to run towards the scene, scrambling for cover. For Megan, what happened next was a frame-by-frame, super-slow-motion psychological horror show. The assailant ran toward the opened side door of the van and lunged in. Just as his body cleared the doorframe, the van exploded into a seething maelstrom of flames. The flash of the blast blinded her momentarily. As her sight slowly returned, she saw that the van had completely disintegrated. The building's canopy was obliterated, and the entire front of the loading area was in flames. She could see people scattering and crawling for safety. One woman was on fire as she ran screaming. Security and military personnel began pouring onto the scene. Megan was now fully psychologically incapacitated. As the van exploded, her world imploded. She felt as if she were floating in a clear, silent sphere, completely detached from the terror of her present reality. She robotically turned to look at the two expressionless triplets on either side of her. She struggled to remember who they were and why she would be sitting next to them in a van. It dawned on her that she did not know who she was. She heard the agent re-enter the van and slam the door, startling her into a semi-aware moment. He started the engine and then turned himself slowly toward Megan until his lips were barely an inch from her ear. He whispered, "Good night, Megan." She remembered who she was just as she felt the jab of a hypodermic needle. Her silent sphere faded to blackness,